Small business is big in West Texas, fueled by a special breed of entrepreneurs. They sow seeds of hard work and rely on each other to grow. They're all connected by a common thread that creates the character of our community, and they keep us moving forward. And no one brings small business together like First Bank and Trust.
At First Bank and Trust, you get more than a bank. You get a network across this entire community.
Take a step with the bank that knows how to make small business a bigger deal.
On the other side of Texas, history has its place. On the other side of Texas, justice rules the case. They don't like it, they don't love it. They say we're all wrong, but on the other side of Texas, halls, we roll on.
That we do. Roll along. Thank you for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, another edition of Your Other Side of Texas. Rolling along with J. West Texas Leeson. And glad that you're a part of the program. You want to be a part of the program, you can text in 806-745-5800. Not if you want to be a part of the program, if you want to interject into the program. We appreciate everybody who listens and makes this show what it is. Today, Steve Pear is executive director of Amarillo Matters, and they have launched what they call a new grassroots effort to support the Texas Tech Vet School. Big press release coming out this morning. We'll have Steve Pear on with us here in about 7 minutes from now, and then our friend Wes Rappaport, Rappaport Report of NextStar, is going to be on with us and talk about all the ongoings down the Austin way. What you need to know is we provide a very informed audience with more information as we roll along. But let's start here. Texas Monthly. Greg Abbott orders Texas university boards to investigate admissions policies after bribery scandal. That's the scandal undergoing right now. I think we have some scandal music. That's the wrong one. That's Region Cake. We used to have some Under My Thumb. That's a reference to John Sharp. If you're just listening to the show for one of the first time, John Sharp, Chancellor at Texas A&M, but had some more ominous. Oh, there's the scandal music right there. Yeah. Got to investigate the admissions policies after the bribery scandal. Texas Monthly, a week after federal prosecutors charged dozens of people in a massive college admissions bribery scheme, Governor Greg Abbott sent a letter to all Texas regents on public university boards on Monday, directing them to investigate their own admission policies. Quote, "The legislature has assigned important responsibilities to the governing boards of Texas institutions of higher education, including setting campus admission standards," Abbott wrote in the letter. "Every board must therefore closely examine and investigate its admission policies and procedures to ensure that no university employee engages in fraudulent schemes, quid pro quo arrangements, or improprieties of any sort. Our universities, first and foremost, exist to serve qualifying students who graduate Texas high schools. Those students, their parents, and taxpayers must have confidence that the system is not rigged." The U.S. Department of Justice charged a total of 44 people last week with crimes ranging from racketeering to mail fraud, money laundering, and obstruction of justice, part of an alleged conspiracy that, quote, facilitated cheating on college entrance exams and the admission of students to elite universities as purported athletic recruits. according to the Department of Justice. Those charged include Hollywood actors, wealthy business owners, prominent lawyers, and several Texans. The University of Texas of Austin, University of Texas at Austin, was one of several elite universities across the country implicated in the scandal. Let's go back and let's try this again. Let's read this through a different vein, shall we? Let's read Abbott's comments one more time. And get this from a different vein so that we can see the irony involved. Because I'm sure several of you are already there. The legislature has assigned important responsibilities to the governing boards of Texas's institutions of higher education, including setting campus admission standards, Abbott wrote in the letter to Regents. Every board must therefore closely examine and investigate its admission policies and procedures to ensure that no university employee engages in fraudulent schemes, quid pro quo arrangements, or impropriety of any sort. With all due respect, Governor, how about we start with a system that doesn't begin with mega donors to your election campaigns being named as regents? How about we start with what looks as though it's fraudulent schemes, quid pro quo arrangements, or impropriety? How about we start there? We've already walked through this in Lubbock and seen it firsthand. The appearance thereof, I'm not going to cast the gavel down on anybody, but how about the whole thing's rotten from the top to the bottom, Governor? How about we begin there? And how about you don't ridicule and ostracize publicly good faith citizens who come forward and say, yeah, it's pay to play on Texas Board of Regents. So if it's pay to play with the regents, why wouldn't it be pay to play on down the line? And that's just the way I see it from the high plains of West Texas. But there's a much larger problem. I would love to see the letters that were almost sent back to the governor that say as much as what I've said here. And the whole thing stinks. And the whole appointment process in Texas needs to change, and not just with regents, but with board members of every kind. You got to be wealthy, you got to be rich, or you got to be retired in order to do anything in this state. And you know, I'll say that as much for the Lubbock City Council. But I don't even want to delve into that. This has to be a government that works for all people, and right now it simply is not. And Governor Abbott's letter, though on some levels commendable, is also on many levels laughable, because it starts at the top and it goes from there. Steve Pear is going to be calling in momentarily, and we're going to talk about the vet school that the governor says that he is for. Steve Pear is on the line now. I'm going to jump out to him, executive editor of Amarillo Matters. Steve Pear, how are you?
I am great. How are you?
Busy day up in the panhandle.
It has been really busy, but it's been a good one. And it looks like it's going to rain.
All this and rain is, but will anybody die in a rain event? That's the question.
I hope not.
Is it just going to be rain, or is it going to be 50 mile an hour winds that come with it?
I'm no meteorologist, but I think it's just rain right now.
That's fine. You can be a meteorologist on the radio. I'm an economist. I'm a political consultant. I'm all sorts of things on the radio, Steve. So you guys this morning with Amarillo Matters, first of all, tell us what Amarillo Matters is, and then tell us what you've rolled out for support of the proposed Texas Tech Veterinarian School.
Yeah, Amarillo Matters is a local group based in Amarillo, of course, formed a couple years ago. just to try to be on the lookout for things that benefit Amarillo and the surrounding area. And the vet school certainly fits that. In fact, I think it benefits not only Amarillo and the surrounding area, but West Texas and the state. We're really excited to be working on it.
Okay, so you roll out the presser this morning, and we're right here. We're getting up to boiling point in the legislative session. Tell us what the initiative is, Steve.
Yeah, today we launched a significant grassroots effort that will give people a way to stand up and say, hey, I support this project and I see the need and I want it to happen. All through a new website, unmetvetdemand.com. There's an online petition that we're asking people to go to and sign. Again, just to try to centralize that support and give everybody who supports the project, sees that need, an opportunity to voice that support.
How's response been so far?
It's still early. Response has been good. You know, we've been doing media interviews all day, and our other, you know, the full campaign's just taking grasp, but I think it's going to be successful, and I think we'll see support throughout the state, quite honestly. I think it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, have you seen, take us into the background, because you've been out there, you've seen what's going on at the vet school. Give people, let's come down to 9 to 5. People are just getting in their cars, want to know what's going on with the vet school. What is the reality right now, and what are you guys getting involved to help sway in this conversation about the need for a vet school, another vet school in Texas?
Yeah, I'll try to give you the 30-second version. You know, Amarillo...
Oh, we got plenty of time. Go ahead and take a couple of minutes.
The city of Amarillo and private donors, we've managed to secure about $90 million to help build the actual facility. And so what Tech has done is they are currently asking the legislature for just over $17 million to kind of fund the programs for the next couple of years. So, you know, that's a budget request in the legislative session. Our delegation, Senators Seliger and Perry and our House delegation, have just done an outstanding job down in Austin for us on our behalf, and continue to work through that legislative process to get that money in the budget that will really be another step forward to pushing this project across the finish line.
Fully funded in the House, but some $13 million or so short in the Senate. Is that right?
Yes, sir. So we saw full funding in the House base budget bill that was released shortly after the session started. And then the Senate side had the initial $4 million that was allocated during the last session in there. So, you know, obviously the challenge is now to get that Senate side up and get funding in both those bills and the final budget, and then we take our next step.
Steve, as I understand it, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, my understanding is that this will go to the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board ultimately. There's a national group, but there's also the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board. What the coordinating board is wanting to see is essentially what's been referred to on this program as a rounding error, that $13 million that is fully funded on the House and Senate side as the budget comes out of the legislature, that they're going to want to see that in order to take action. Do you agree with that way of thinking, or is there a nuance I'm missing?
Well, you know, I can't speak to the coordinating board. You know, we haven't had just a ton of discussions about that right now. You know, at the end of the day, you hope everybody, whether it be the coordinating board or our lawmakers down in Austin, just see the need. I mean, if you look at the facts, you know, our Texas students are having to leave the state who want to go in the vet field to get their education, coming back with major debt loads. The needs across rural Texas and beyond for large animal vets. I mean, if you look at the facts, it is clear that there's a need for this. So at the end of the day, it's my hope that our elected leaders and the coordinating board see that and will help us bring this to reality, make it a reality.
Steve, the name of the website again is what?
It's unmetvetdemand.com.
Unmetvetdemand.com.
Yes, sir. Yep, absolutely. So, and it's up and running. It makes signing the petition a breeze. We hope people will do that. Share it on your Facebook, Twitter, all those fun channels. Again, it's about really bringing the support home for this and highlighting the need and just how many people out there support the project.
Yeah. What else? You got all the information about the project there on the website as well?
All the information's on the project. There's a link back to the official Texas Tech Vet School website that's just loaded with great information as well. Again, it really just highlights the need. You know, it all comes back to Texans taking care of Texans. It's something that we've all done. When our state sees a need, we work together to confront it and make it a reality and address it. And I think that's what you're seeing here. And at the end of the day, I'm very hopeful that we'll have a vet school with right here in Amarillo.
Steve, tell me something. Speaking of Amarillo for just a moment, and the sod poodles, Ruckus, the new mascot, rolled out last week. My twin boys turned 10 on May the 1st. How do I get Ruckus at my house? Can you line something up?
I'll work on it. I'm trying to get Ruckus at my house. Actually, you know, it's funny. I'm trying to get tickets to the season opener. They sold out, and I don't have my tickets yet.
Steve, what were you busy with?
I don't know. I guess
Unmet
got away from you.
The website got away from you.
The website, yeah. I went on Saturday morning to get them, and I was too late. They went fast.
Unmet Vet Demand. Got ahead of Steve Pear.
Yes, sir. Unmetvetdemand.com.
Well, I hope it was worth it, buddy. You're going to be paying week to week on Craigslist and eBay for your baseball tickets.
Maybe I can sneak in. Maybe nobody will notice.
I think Ruckus will notice. tell us, so the idea is this thing, as the legislature unfolds, for people who don't pay a lot of attention to the legislature, usually the House budget goes up about April 1, and then the Senate budget will follow. Then there's a conference committee. There's still a lot of time here on the clock. Even though we're halfway through the legislature, this is when the action begins to unfold. You're just hoping to get a bunch of people together, Steve Pear and Amarillo Matters, to mobilize them as budgets begin to come to fruition.
Yeah, as budgets become to fruition, and again, the legislative process just plays out, you know. It'll be over the end of May, but I think that you're right. I think the next few weeks are critical. I think the House will take up the full budget pretty soon, followed by the Senate version, and then it will be hashed out in committee. And, yeah, I think you know, a good show of support, you know, all built around just how needed the school is a good thing. We just, you know, every day we get calls from people saying, well, how can I help? What can I do? And this is a great first step. And once you sign up, we'll keep you engaged and up to date on the latest, and let you know what else you can do to help.
Okay, so Steve, Dave on the text line asking, what's the holdup in the Senate? Why is the House all the way there and the Senate is not? What's the dynamic?
You know, I'm not completely sure on that, but I tell you that Perry and Seliger, they're doing really good. Working through all that, you know, down in Austin, and I feel confident about where we are.
Okay. Well, unmetvetdemand.com, Steve Pear, Amarillo Matters. Appreciate you making time to come on, bud.
No, anytime. Thank you for having us on, and thanks for bringing a little attention to this. Again, I think it's one of those things. It's important to the state. It's not an Amarillo or a Lubbock thing. It's something that's needed by the state and the industry. So we just appreciate all the support that we've had, whether it be from the community chambers, various ag industries. It's been very humbling. I've never seen West Texas work together on something like we're coming together on this. It's pretty awesome to watch.
Well, we appreciate the time, Steve Pear, and you can come on and update us here in the next month or so.
Sounds great, Jay. Thanks for having us on.
All right. Have a good day, Steve Pear.
You too.
Up in Amarillo, going to get off with Steve and get back in. A little quickie break and make a little bit of money and come back in. I want to talk to you about why Abilene Christian could knock off Kentucky. Have you got Abilene Christian knocking off Kentucky in the first round? I do. And I'll talk to you about that here in just a minute from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Stick right with us here on the other side of Texas.
Knock that chill off your bones. Got food on the fire. Can I get you some to eat? Make yourself at home. Yeah, I'm on the run. I'm looking out, searching for something that I still care about. I'm looking up to the sky.
On the program, didn't get to Sharon's text. Sorry, Sharon, caught you too late. On next time we get Steve Pear on, we can talk some more vet school. But want to switch gears right quick and go into Abilene Christian and drawing Kentucky. Mac Engle, who once called Cliff Kingsbury Coach Bro, and have discussed him before on the program. It says, college basketball is full of wire taps, frauds and indictments, so it's only appropriate that a Christian school from West Texas is here to save the NCAA tournament. And after mighty Abilene Christian slays John Calipari and his merry band of NBA bums, wow, from Kentucky, America will know and acknowledge the Fighting Christians are the best team, not just in West Texas, but all of Texas, maybe America. Do you get the feeling that maybe Mac Engle tries to write in such a way that it's kind of a Molotov cocktail style of writing, that he's just going to blow the whole thing up and watch it burn? So what if Texas Tech defeated ACU by 34 points? That was last year. Take heed, you obnoxious followers from Kentucky. Mac Engle has a lot of followers from Kentucky. Apparently, ACU is coming to get you. Cal and Ashley Judd, too. Man, I hadn't thought about Ashley Judd in a long time. And I'm just going to keep it there. Kentucky is a 21.5 favorite to defeat Abilene Christian University on Thursday night in the second round of the NCAA tournament, but ignore those idiots who set the betting lines. UK is done. Coach Cal has never seen a squad like ACU, with the possible exception of NCAA investigators. Now he's just all in. Mac Engle. Abilene Christian is the best story of the NCAA tournament. Has been eligible for this tournament for only 2 years. Features an enrollment of about 3,600, a coach who buys his suits off the rack on game days, and a basketball team that kicked off two starters earlier this year because they violated some rules that would apply to ACU only. I guess they were chewing Redman out behind the bus barn. That's my own commentary. I don't know what would happen at ACU. ACU is the reason why we love this tourney and why the first Thursday, Friday of NCAAs are the best 2 days in sports on the calendar. Thursday, Friday of this week are one of the last places when David out of the SWAC is on the neutral floor with the Goliath from the ACC. I don't know what conference Abilene Christian's in, but they're in the SEC, right? Kentucky. Most of the achievements and championships won in 2019 will fade. You probably can't remember who won the title in 2018, but you'll never forget the true NCAA upset. And I'm not talking about Ohio State over Washington. I'm talking about ACU over Kentucky, or a 16 seed Maryland-Baltimore County, blowing out top seed Virginia. Mercer over Duke. Brand-conscious Bradley over Kansas. Norfolk State over Missouri. Coppin State defeating Iowa State. Look, I'm all for it. And I think it can happen. And I'm going to fill out my bracket as so. Because, you know, in looking at NCAA brackets, it's kind of like listening to Lubbock radio guy talk about national politics. I mean, who really cares in the end? Focus more regionally, more locally. But I'll take me some Wildcats. And big shout out to Jared Moser from Lochney, played at ACU. Suffered several hands at the defeat, or several defeats at the hands of the Lochney Longhorn, Jared Moser. And all due respect to ACU, I wish them the best, especially since they're on the opposite side of the tournament from the Texas Tech Red Raiders. And tickets are punched, got them in the mail today. We'll be there at the Bank Oklahoma Center in Tulsa with Dad. And we're going to have a great time being right there in the bleachers. You'll be able to see us, I think, down in the bleachers. Come by, say hello, and give us a good... we'd love the other side of Texas while you're amongst us. And maybe we'll be taken up into more important places as the tournament rolls around and people understand who's there on the floor. Yours truly. I say that facetiously. Just appreciate folks listening to the show. Love meeting people who say love the show. And working on Wes Rappaport, getting into the program, going to talk about the latest in Austin, and go to a quickie break, get Wes Rappaport on. ACU, I'm taking them in the tourney. Be right back. A couple minutes right here. On the other side.
The sun now, how's the city? How's it all playing out? You've been in mine and your daddy's prayers, never cast one down. Near the day we brought you home, you were bound to be a star. Just wish you didn't grow so quick, perhaps I left so far.
Small business is big in West Texas, fueled by a special breed of entrepreneurs. They sow seeds of hard work and rely on each other to grow. They're all connected by a common thread that creates the character of our community, and they keep us moving forward. And no one brings small business together like First Bank and Trust.
At First Bank and Trust, you get more than a bank. You get a network across this entire community.
Take a step with the bank that knows how to make small business a bigger deal.
Welcome back to The Other Side with Jay Leeson.
Stars in Oklahoma. Never seen a night so cool and clear. Shooting stars in Oklahoma. Burn so bright, then disappear.
Hey, welcome back in Other Side of Texas. What do you need real estate-wise? What do you got? What do you need? Jay Leeson, hook you up. Self-promotion, shameless self-promotion here. Industrial, commercial, residential, whatever you need. You trust what you hear on the program. Trust me to apply the same ethic and resolve in your place and what you need. 806-543-1317. He is Wes Rappaport of NextStar. Rappaport reports exclusively. I'm going to say it exclusively. Don't correct me, Wes, right here on the program. Appreciate you coming on. What you been up to, Wes?
Hey, Jay, doing well. How are you?
Doing really well. Getting ready for some Lubbock girls basketball tonight. Grace Linda taking the floor, and we're going to see how many rebounds she comes down with.
Yeah, we love that. We love LCU and seeing all the non-Texas Tech teams getting some time in the spotlight every once in a while.
Is that your thing?
Well, I'm all about spreading the love, you know.
Yeah. because the talk of the town right now is Texas Tech probably has as good a chance as anybody going to the Final Four.
Yeah, anytime our friends on the Cap Rock get a chance to show their stuff and highlight the good work of the good people out there, we like that.
Did you take Abilene Christian in your bracket to knock off Kentucky?
You know, that's going to be a tough one, Jay. I think the Wildcats are a good-looking squad, and Abilene Christian's going to have their hands full.
But Abilene Christian's Wildcats, too. Are you talking about Kentucky, or are you talking about ACU?
Yeah, you know, I think Kentucky is obviously going to be the team to beat there, but I'll never say never.
Okay, so tell us.
Abilene Christian's been known to surprise every once in a while, right?
Yeah, I'm going to take them. What have you been working on?
Today we're actually working on a story about controlling the prison temperatures and what the temperatures are inside our Texas prisons. There's a renewed effort from former inmates and families of loved ones who are incarcerated who are basically saying that the state needs to do a more thorough job of number one, tracking the temperatures inside prisons, and number two, controlling the temperatures inside prisons. There's a couple of bills, both on the House and Senate side, that would require the Texas Department of Criminal Justice to keep the temperatures inside state prison facilities between 65 and 85 degrees. And the idea behind that.
Wait,
the bill
is between 65 and 85?
Yeah, the bill would require.
Man, it's already a compromise. I would die in prison. I would absolutely. At 85, I'm miserable. I would weigh like. How much do you weigh, Wes?
I weigh. I'll give you a 20, 30, 45 ballpark in there.
145. So I would weigh 146 pounds in prison if it were above 85 degrees every day.
You know, and part of that unpleasant experience that I think a lot of folks would you know are thinking about when it comes to the temperature thing is that they brought they sort of call it like a hot box, like a mock cell to the Capitol. Right outside the Capitol grounds, and invited the public and lawmakers and legislative staff to come, and they heat it up. They seal this kind of wood box, and it's like a prison cell, and they heat it up, and they want you to experience what they say the conditions are like inside Texas prisons, particularly in the summer months. And so I went in there and tried, and you know I can understand the argument of the long-term exposure to the heat. You start to sweat a little bit, kind of uncomfortable. It's not a pleasant experience. There's this other conversation that kind of comes into play here, Jay, which is people argue, you know, that the people who are behind bars are there for a reason, and so the sympathy factor is maybe not as strong as it should be there. And so, you know, there's this argument that, well, this person's behind bars. They did something to put themselves there, so we should, you know, this is kind of part of the punishment is being in this uncomfortable situation. And so we heard from State Senator Jose Menendez, who, among other people, has said, look, these people are paying their debt to society, but that doesn't mean we treat them like trash, and that there still are health and safety concerns when it comes to the people who are in prison. And there's a further conversation about, you know, you think it's uncomfortable for a prisoner or an inmate or an offender. Imagine being a corrections officer who's got all the gear, you know, a vest on, long sleeves sometimes, you're wearing a uniform that in the right conditions can be also an unpleasant experience. And so because of...
Do you have corrections officers on the pro side of this bill?
Yes, and we heard from the president of the Correctional Employees Union here in Texas, who says, you know, basically, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, and that's sort of the cheeky way of saying, you know, the air conditioning goes a long way. It goes all the way around. It's not just for the inmates, but it's also for the officers and for the staff and for some of these other people. So there's kind of this broader conversation.
How much
that,
is this going to cost, Wes?
Well, and that's the big question mark here, Jay, is there at least on the record, you know, as the bills have been filed, there is no financial analysis that's been put out by the Legislative Budget Board on this yet. Representative James White, who chairs the House Corrections Committee, says that he's not even sure that TDCJ has been asked what it's going to cost to provide the adequate conditions to meet this requirement here. And so, you know, he says we should be asking this question. We should be asking the head at TDCJ, what is this going to cost? What are the resources that you need in order for this to happen before he's you know, gung-ho with
no.
Legislation like this going through the process.
A couple of things. One, appreciate James White listening to the show regularly. That's number one. I hope to hear from him on this. Text in, have they provided any sort of quantified data qualitative data that better temperatures ensure better behavior?
Well, that's certainly part of the conversation, that there is, you know, anytime you and I both get a little hot under the collar, you know, tempers flare and conditions, you know,
if I'm in a position, Wes, where I'm about to drop to your body weight and still be 6'3", yeah, there's going to be some heat under the collar. I promise you.
Yeah,
that.
And you're not going to be too happy about that, I imagine. And you're already behind bars for a reason. And so, you know, it's kind of a perfect storm there. And so that's certainly part of the conversation here is trying to keep tempers from flaring just as much as we're trying to keep temperatures from flaring as well.
Yeah. I'm sitting here and it's 69 degrees in the studio and I'm getting agitated. But let me say this too, that here's the secret with jail jobs, is that nobody wants to do jail jobs. And I can't imagine retrofitting prisons and jails to just simply in the interstitiaries in between the floors and all the tests that have to be done and you're around inmates. It just seems like a long... I appreciate... It seems to be a noble cause, but I don't know how realistic it is that we're going to go in and retrofit correction centers to be, you know, 75 degrees.
Well, and that's what Representative White said as well. He said, look, let's say we put this thing in place and we're requiring everybody to check a box however many times a day that the temperature is a certain temperature. And he said, you know, I guarantee you I'll get a phone call that it's higher than 85 degrees in one of these facilities at some point during a Texas summer. You know, he said, it's been hot since 1850 or something. You know, he said, Texas prisons have been hot for forever, you know, because it's hot in the summer. So...
But do you understand what I'm saying, too, that to run duct and to run new HVAC...
Oh, absolutely. There will be a financial cost to it. Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't even know how manageable that is. But, Anyway, so what's going on in the school thing? Let's cross over for and give you a couple minutes here. What's going on in the school bill on the House side, and is this going to be the big Armageddon between the House and the Senate in this session?
Well, the House put their version of the school finance reform bill through committee. So once it's pending assignment from calendars committee, it'll head to the floor. And the several minor changes from the original version, but the main change is that the it's been stripped of the merit-based pay component. And that's because...
Was that surprising to you?
Well, it's because these teacher groups don't want it to be taught, don't want pay to be tied to like student performance and to the STAR test.
Is it because they're in like this new world order where you don't know where kids are coming from and you aren't working off the same baseline? That's how I understand it. Is not every kid comes from the same home. It's not as monolithic as it once was.
Well, yeah, I mean there are for example, the Texas American Federation of Teachers says, you know, that it appreciates the House leadership responding to these concerns, and that this merit-based pay idea and the rejection of this idea shows that this relationship that's been sort of associated with, okay, so the students do well, and so that way based on this standard that we're setting, that means that the teacher gets a bonus, or the teacher gets and so the teachers are saying, you know, it shouldn't matter what each student's performance kind of gets involved here, and you know, for the simple reason that I think you're onto something there, Jay, that you know, every student has a different background, every student has a different learning experience. I mean, I learned so differently from other students in my when I was going to school, and I learned similar. You know, everybody has a different experience while they're going through the their education, and I'm still learning. I mean, we're all still learning, and
Wes,
some of us are still in school. So you know, it's still this. Just because I get an A or a B or a C, or just because of my performance on the STAR test, shouldn't necessarily be tied to my teacher getting a, you know, being able to provide for his or her family. And so I think that's kind of the root of this argument.
I don't know how teachers decide what kids are going to be in their classrooms. One day, that would be a really interesting story that you should do one day so that I don't have to do it. But I know this, that if it were merit-based pay in elementary, junior high, and high school, I would have been selected like in the 14th round. Maybe the 30th round. And no, I can't have my paycheck tied up to that leasing kid because I wasn't a good learner at that level. But I guess we're just both making the same point there, Wes.
Well, and then you've got this on the Senate side, this $5,000 across the board raise that in one way solves that problem, but in other ways creates other ones.
One time $5,000, it's baloney, and you don't even have to comment on it. Let me just riff for a second. It's absolute horse crap, and it's just going to go this one time, and it's a guy who learned his lesson in the last election, that being the lieutenant governor, and please make it go away. Let's just give them some money. Like I said, you don't have to comment on that. What are you working on for this week, next week?
We are, sorry, I'm getting over a cough is actually what...
I think you vape too much during South by Southwest, Wes.
You know, I managed to do just enough of the South by Southwest action to check off all the boxes and stay away from the traffic. But all of us in Austin are recovering from South by and all the crowds I've got a story in the works. Not sure exactly when it's going to come out, but be on the lookout for it. A little conversation with Land Commissioner George P. Bush. We talked briefly about this Top Texan tournament. So we had a little bit of fun. There's this tournament that the General Land Office organizes every year. It's 4 years running now, and it basically is the college playoff bracket style tournament, but you replace your favorite teams with important Texas historical figures. So you've got your Stephen F. Austin and your Sam Houston, and you've got your Barbara Jordan and your Ann Richards. Then you've also got like George Strait up against Willie Nelson, and you've got like Janis Joplin and Selena. So it's a fun mix of encouraging Texans to learn about important figures in state history, but also there's some bragging rights involved, and I think a prize.
You know, a fun fact for you as we sign off here, Wes. Barbara Jordan and Bob Bullitt couldn't stand one another, but guess who are buried next to one another?
How about that?
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
That's good knowledge. Anyway, I'm talking to George P. Bush, and we talk about some other stuff, some Hurricane Harvey update, the Alamo, and how his family's doing after kind of a rough year for the Bush family with the loss of George and Barbara. So, We're doing a little check-in with the land commissioner, and so you can look for that coming up soon.
Okay. Don't keep my suspense up. Did I make the field of 64? Am I one of the great Texans?
You're a great Texan in all of our hearts, but you're not on the bracket.
I didn't make the 64. Maybe a play-in game. Maybe a play-in game, me and Dan Patrick. All right. Appreciate you, Wes. Always, good to talk with you.
Likewise. Talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. Tomorrow on the program, going to have Ross Ramsey and then our friend Mike Bazaar, Bazaar Solutions, coming up. And appreciate you taking time to listen to the program. You can always catch us on the podcast, anywhere you can find a podcast. Even if you have to Google podcasts, you go to whatever comes up, and whether that be Anchor or Apple, iTunes, or whatever the case might be, Android, Google Play, you can find every edition of this program there on the podcast. A lot of people listen. Appreciate you listening. Whatever fashion and form. Gonna get home. Gotta get home. Grace Linda is taking the floor tonight. We're gonna see if she can get at least 7 rebounds. That's our goal for tonight. And then to go back up if she if she gets the rebound on her team's side of the floor, if she gets her own rebound, she just needs to go back up. And that's what we need her to do tonight. So we're going to get home, go to the ball game. And until next time, buddies, I have a good monologue for you tomorrow, too. A place that you thought I might not ever go. And that's a little accolades to Senator Charles Perry. I'll keep you tuned in for that tomorrow on the program. Until next time, Rave On Buddies, Rave On. We'll see you right here next time, right here on these other sides of Texas.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.